Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty great. Just had a good weekend. Lots of things around the house and been building this fire pit. I tested it out. It's halfway built, but we tested it out on Saturday, so that was pretty fun. Just, you know, sat around for an hour watching the fire. It's pretty relaxed.
So did the job, kept fire in the pit?
Kept fire in the pit. Had a nice big scorch mark in the lawn. You know, it's good, good, good.
Nice.
How are things with you?
I'd say a little chaotic lately, but good. End of school year stuff. Lots of events. Got a cold last week. My daughter also caught it. It was also like her birthday. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to have a birthday party. I don't know. She's just finishing middle school. So it sort of has had this like, she's just finishing middle school. She's got a core group of friends that she's had for a couple years. But after this, she'll go to high school. And a lot of them will disperse. So there's like this very coveted time of like these last things. There was a school of like, I would say graduating school event that was like going on this boat cruise and she was sick for that. So it's like, she's kind of like missing the last like,
the last hurrah
types of moments. So, but what else? We have I think you heard earlier, there was a bark. You're like, oh, the dog. I'm like, yeah. My dog never barks, but it's because we have another dog here. We are dog sitting for a friend.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully finding a dog swapping partner with when we go on vacation. Mm. So there's another dog. Every dog walk is now a two-person job or a two dogs, one walker type of thing.
Yeah.
But end of school year wrapping up. Lots of random business things, I think, getting tightened up.
Yeah. Everyone's kind of hunkering down for summer and
planning those things out.
Getting all their start of year things kind of done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that pattern in my consulting work. It's like often the summer is just dead. It's like as soon as school's out, like you can hardly expect people to reply to you or everything's just going to go slow for that time period.
Yeah. We even in our, from a like leads and customer's perspective, we internally just label it like a summer slow. Like usually everything just move slower, because even if you have people that you're talking to about potential business, they're like, oh, but I got to talk to so-and-so and they're on a vacation. So just everything gets just paced a little slower because it's just, I think people are, everything is moving slower. So it just compounds, I guess.
Yep. But I guess it's good. We all get some vacation. Everyone gets some time to recharge. So that's good.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Well, I was hoping today to ask you a little bit about this manufacturing support software I've been working on.
Yeah.
So I'm calling it Order TRK for now. It's kind of a lame name, but whatever.
Sorry. ChatGPT made it. Order TRK. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Order TRK. It's like Order Track without the A in it. Whatever. Anyways. So last, I think we talked, I was showing demos to people via YouTube. So I would send them a YouTube clip and I'd say, hey, could you, take a look at this, let me know what you think. And it was a lot of like kind of low level support people. So like typically the people doing the grunt work, not any managers or anything like that. And a bit of the feedback I got from that was just some people were kind of unfazed by it. Didn't really care too much. And some people kind of commented it was quite complicated. And me being the developer, I'm always like, well, I just got to pack all the features in there. Right. And so, what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks now or so is trying to make a really good demo, like make the app so that it looks really demoable. So like if you say, hey, I'm going to create a new thread or I'm going to reply to a thread, just to make that one, like how I would pitch that is how I start. I'm thinking about the pitch and then I'm designing the software to make the pitch go easy and like not have distractions and some of those things. And I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea, or if I'm just kind of like circling around here with that.
No,
that
concept. I like it. I think we've at least for now shaken the, build it and they will come mentality. We've flipped this whole thing. If the listeners track back, a lot of this, what Nate has been doing is really trying to figure out his, like what other people call marketing, but go to market first. Like how am I going to get people that are going to, he has picked a very specific audience, which is these like manufacturing support, I would call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one, you figure out how to reach them. You've built sort of like an outreach mechanism to where people will talk to you. So you're getting customer interviews. And now you're at the stage of you're able to, you've taken their pain points and you're creating like, you know, prototypes and screens and other things to walk them through. So I think this next step that you're talking about is good. You're like in this next refinement step. So it's sort of as we built this kind of backwards versus like the normal classic engineer, indie hacker builder. It's like we built, like right now you're gaining confidence through the system from the top down. So right now it's like, Nate has high confidence. He can reach people. He has confidence. He can get those people to talk to him. He has confidence in their pain points. And this next step is like confidence that he can build something that is going to meet their pain points and maintain this momentum throughout and hopefully get them to like, you know, pony up and pay for something.
Right, exactly. Right,
so you're in this next stage, right? We'll call this stage three, if I labeled them correctly. But stage three is now like, okay, I know I'm confident in their pain points. And now can I build something to match that? Like, so they are in this fry moment of, you know, taking the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it just feels kind of weird because I took an initial stab at that, creating that those screens and kind of a workable demo, just like a really simple kind of thing. And I packed all of the features that I thought would solve the problems into there, expecting people to, you know, be able to decide for themselves, you know, does this solve my problems? Yes or no?
Right.
And yeah, it feels weird to go through. I'm basically going through it and just like trashing like anything that I'm like, okay, this is distracting from my, how I pitched this.
The core thing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just going to trash that and like oversimplify this and oversimplify that and like put icons in for this particular thing that people want. Like people want call tracking. So it's like, okay, well, I'll just put like a call icon on this one screen and like, it doesn't have to have an integration.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
But it's enough of a signal that people are like, oh, I could do calling. Okay. But it's not like so much there that it's distracting. So I guess this whole idea of going at it from how would I pitch this versus how do I solve this problem in the most efficient way has been a bit of a mind flip for me. Yeah. Do you think that's the right way to think about it? Or do you have any thoughts on that?
I do think it's the right way to think about it. I think because, again, if we're thinking through these funnel steps, if you can't get them to clearly have the, you know, what people call like the aha moment or whatever that is, that kind of just flips the bit into them starting asking questions like, well, how much is this going to cost? Right. That's just those are the questions you want them to ask. And if it's more of like, I don't get it, or I don't see it, like they're basically, you need to keep, because that stage of that funnel, like I said, step three is like, you need to get them to get to four. But right now they're getting stuck in three because it's sort of like, hey, there's all these pieces. And now like, you know, so I think you're right. And it's like thinking about it from a, you know, human psychology standpoint, you have like pieces and now you're essentially trying to assemble this and how can I get as many through the gate to the next stage as possible? So right now, sort of like you had the past ones where I think before you said in our last episode, it was about, you know, you're sending them, you were asking them, do you want a demo? Do you want to see that? And it was like, but you figured out something else then that got them through that gate. Right. And now you're in this next stage of this next gate. So I do think keeping it simple, just like the same tips you gave it for, you know, you were refined. How long did you spend refining messaging and refining your outreach? You're in the same, this is the same game, but now you're just one more step in there. Right. So I think your mentality is correct. Like, okay, I thought these were the features, but maybe they're not. Actually, what are the top three, or what do I think the top three are? And now what's this version? And that didn't seem to resonate. Maybe it's not those top three. Let me go back and think. Maybe I need to go back a stage and go look at those pain points again. I don't know. Or maybe I need to go back and look at my interview process. Like right now you have enough, I think, to guess, but then if you end up still stuck here and you can't get them through the gate, you're probably moving back a phase and be like, let me reassess the pain points again, because something is amiss, right? Like if the materials you have today, based off of your previous research, if you can't mold them and iterate and kind of mix mash them up enough, then you might need to go back a stage and figure out what those, get new pieces again, right? Go reassess your pieces.
Yeah.
But I think you're approaching it correct. So.
Yeah. And I think I often forget that too, the time spent in like kind of rethinking it within the phase, right? So during the messaging phase, I remember when I originally started messaging, I was all excited. So I made it this script and, you know, went and started doing it and, you know, rah, rah. And then, you know, a week later, and it's like, oh, crap, you know, this isn't working. And then to update that messaging and stuff, and then to stay in that loop for a little bit. It just, I think it takes a bit to wrap your brain about, like, oh, this is okay. This is how this works. You know, just keep going at it. Because, like, with this product thing, I'm like, man, I put a lot of thought into this. And, like, oh, okay, well, like, I guess I was wrong somehow. So, like, let's, you know, that is worth calling out, too, just that it's, that it is still in that loop, and that's okay.
Yeah. This is part of the process, right? And the stronger conviction you have on these pieces, and you can move to the next stage. Otherwise, like I said, it might be, you know, moving back. But I think what is interesting is thinking about this stage and what it also might inform better questions you could to get more hints on being successful through gate number three. Like other ones that I don't know if you asked is, now you are in this, okay, now maybe the pain points are still right, but how do I marry their brain to this solves those pain points, right? So like,
right,
it could be questions around, or I don't know if you know this, but like, you know, if you think about when you use software, there are certain interfaces and UI, UX things that you're familiar with and that you enjoy, right? Mm-hmm. So like, hey, is it like a notification bell that tells me history? I don't know what those different things are, but also like, what software do they enjoy, right? So maybe it's like, oh, I love how, you know, any, and it's almost any software, and you might look at certain patterns, right? Because something we even do at Referral Rock is I think about like, okay, how can I adapt to familiar behaviors, right? So if it's like, if some of our screens look like a social media app, like people know how to use a social media app, right? Like there's a feed, you scroll through, there's these natural tendencies that now are sort of you get for free because they're built that way.
Yeah.
Right. And so if they're looking at something, and I know I saw your other ones, it looked kind of like an email thing, which could be good, but it could also be bad, right? It's like, well, I don't want to think about it like that, right? Like, or, you know, maybe like other interfaces. I don't know what other software they use. What to-do list software do they use? How other things are they managing? Maybe it's like a Kanban style thing might be better. I don't know, right? Like, and this is where you get to kind of give yourself hints of familiarity, but this is all cheap and easy to prototype now.
Yeah. Well, and that's also where like I've kind of bumped up to this already a little bit, where it's like, it does look a lot like an email system. And so to try and show people, well, this email system is different and better, and right where they're like, well, like it just looks like Outlook. I'm fine with Outlook. I don't care. And right to show the pain on some of those things, I think, especially with, it's really nice actually talking to the people doing the work, not the managers, because they're really blunt. They're just like, well, I like this and I don't like that. And you're like, okay, you know, tell me more about that. And they're like, I just do. And you're like, okay. But another thing I have thought about too is I'm starting to work higher up the food chain a little bit to go towards people that are support leads or support managers, or people have history of being a support manager, to try and get kind of the next, because the person doing the work is not going to be the one paying the bill or buying. And so I've already kind of, I feel like I have a rough idea of where the regular worker would be okay with. And so I'm going to keep iterating on that. But at the same time, I'm going to kind of try push towards the manager. And so I've added some things I think managers would like, just like around reporting, supervision, some of that sort of thing. And again, trying to take it from the, like, how would I pitch this kind of side of things.
Right. Okay.
So I'm hoping that, that doesn't provide too big of a challenge to get to the manager level. Like, I've got to be able to get there eventually. So might as well start testing those waters now.
Right. Right. The only alternative is if you, and I don't think this is what you're building, but if you were building like a, you know, bottoms up type of motion too, where it's like, okay, you know, could they even use this without a manager's approval? And could it be like, you know, and then you go that other side where it's like, hey, I've got five of your teammates using this thing. And if you want to, like a more secure connected version, or they all want to operate off of the same data set, like, or something, then that's like like Slack and those types of things. All of a sudden it comes a bottoms up type of growth. But I don't recall who you're reaching, if you're reaching the individual support reps when talking to things, or is it more of like, right, so if that's still part of that channel and those are the people you can get access to, right, like, and do they even have the rights to be able to, like, you know, set one of these things up anyway, right? So in terms of permission.
And I do think it's tricky. I don't think there is really a great path to, like, the bottoms up you know, individual user installs kind of approach, just because of the data synchronization that needs to happen with their internal systems. I do think it's more of a manager that wants to add accountability and improve productivity on the team, that it would be a kind of a tool they could use to kind of achieve that goal. And then, you know, also just a nicer workflow and a nicer way to be doing their work. Yeah. So I got to be...
What is their other work too? Like, what is, you know, if this is a separate inbox, I'm sure they have other emails, like other internal emails and other things too, right?
So yeah. So this actually overlays on their support inbox, so they can run both systems at once if they wanted to. And so I kind of made it that way on purpose, so that way there's less risk for them. But yeah, it just goes right on the inbox there. And then the other tools they use is like, they just use Outlook or their ERP system. Some of them will have a customer, like a CRM of sorts, but often the support people don't really like that because it often conflicts with the salespeople. And there isn't a great handoff there between the sales and support team. So. But that's actually interesting as we're talking here. I think the kind of getting it towards the pitching it towards the aspirations of the manager to improve efficiency and oversight might be a useful pain point to go after as a way of selling. Because I think mostly I've focused on, well, here's a way to make your life better and make people more efficient.
Right. I guess. Yeah. So like for the individual, if you're solving the problem for the individual rep and that's your initial sort of outreach and whatnot. And right now, are you, you know, maybe the question you're running up again, is there enough pain here to move the needle here to where you are like, you get enough like momentum, like you being the end person about an excitement about this, that they're bringing it to their manager. And right now you're like,
right.
I'm not sure if that's the case right now, but
yeah.
If I'm pulling the manager in versus like, well, if you have all these people doing these things, like it's sort of, it's marginally better or it's better enough, but not enough momentum and pull for them to like shout from the mountaintops for it. But yet collectively enough of this will give the manager enough like, oh, wow, like, hey, this is saving this amount of time. This is doing this better. Mm-hmm. This is like, you know, I'm saving errors. I'm saving extra work. I'm getting reports that I can send up to my boss. Like you've made now, like, I guess paraphrasing, it's like, if you're only able to increase the enjoyment or like productivity of the support agent by, let's say, 20%, that may not be enough to excite them. But across the board, if you can increase like the productivity of the whole team, you know, 20% plus, like as the manager is going to see it, plus like alleviate, you know, 20% pain for them. Now, all of a sudden, now you're talking and adding up to being something worthwhile.
Yeah. And I think there's also a part that I've forgotten about too, where often the reps don't actually care a whole lot about the efficiency, because a lot of reps, they have a very large backlog and it's continuous. They're just the next ticket, just doing the next ticket.
That's their job. They're punching their clock. They're coming in to do their thing and that's it. Right.
Whereas the manager has to go and explain to their boss why the backlog is so big, or why this happened, or why that happened. And so I think at least in my experience, and also I think just trying to think it through, I think the manager, I think they would care more. And so if the user interface is good enough that the people replying to emails are like, oh, that's okay, that's decent. You know, I'm okay with that. So then you're just kind of removing a barrier of the team being annoyed about it. Yeah.
It's funny. It reminds me of like, you know, when you're doing the QA projects and looking for that, which is similar, right? You were running into like, hey, could get to talk to QA people, but at the end of the day, like they're
not buying.
They're not buying. That is not the outcome you were helping. But what you also discovered is they did not have that much vested interest in improving the process, right? Like, you know, your engineer mindset goes like, you know, there's a nail over there. Problem. I have a hammer. I want to fix. Right. And then, and you're like, what do you mean? You don't want it? Like, they're like, it's okay. It doesn't matter. There's so many nails to thing. Like my job is to basically come in here and do those things, whether I'm doing them 20% fast, like honestly, it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah. That is so true. And I, like, that's interesting because I have a hard time with that in other areas of my life too. Like at home, it's like, you know, my wife will be like, oh, this thing is broken. I'll be like, okay, well, like we got to fix it like right now. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, no, like who cares? Like we'll get to it, you know, whatever. Like, no, it's broken. We have to fix it.
Yeah. No. Audrey has to say the same thing. It was like, she'll say something and she's like, and I don't need you to fix it right now. Like there's like a asterisk preface. Like she has to, otherwise like my brain goes, okay, what are my tools? What do I need? Just, and part of it's just like getting it done, but also like there's a fulfilling aspect of fixing a problem and just being done moving the ball forward. But I don't think that's the same.
Oh yeah. Good stuff. Well, this has been useful. I think got some more things to think about with that. Keep grinding away on my demo and talking to more people.
Cool. Yeah. And like I said, this is where the magic lies. I think this is where I would say before you move on to the managers, right now you're already getting a level removed, which is adding another stage to the process, right? Like we're talking about, you know, step one, can I reach them? Step two, will they talk to me? Step three, you know, will the rubber meet the road? Can I actually provide something they're excited about, right? And we're in that step three. And if you're now talking about bringing a manager, this is like a step four because you're not directly accessing them now through your process, unless you have confidence the same outreach and the same, you know, step one, can I reach them, is exactly the same. I don't know if it is or not. So if that's the case, you've now created a step four, which is like, now can I get them at least excited enough to let me introduce and talk to their manager? Right. So if that's the case.
Oh, I see. Go that way.
If that's the case, like right now you were like, maybe I should talk to the manager. And it's like, okay, but can you even get access to the manager? So I would say that might not be the best road. It's just adding another step. And what you more do is like, go back to that step three and just say like, continue to iterate back on, can I do something for this person that is getting their excitement level, you know, higher? Because there's something there. The fact that they're talking to you, the fact that you've been able to reach them, they've responded, and you've had calls and you've had other things to explain and hear from them and understand their pain. And so that there's enough strong signals of momentum going through there. Move the ball and start somewhere else or try to add another layer. I would probably continue as hard as it is, like stick to the one audience, which is the support person, and like either retread back to understand their pain points or their familiarity, or just there's something else that's there for them, versus changing audience is like, you're almost kind of like, you're kind of almost getting rid of the advantages you already have. And now you're back in it and another weird spot where it's like, well, either I need to add a stage to how to get them to connect me, because then it's like, what percentage are they going to get from that funnel to talk to their manager? Or I have to find a way to talk to their manager. So like, even if you can get the manager interested, that hasn't solved your problem, which is in this step three in the system you built, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a fair feedback. And I do think maybe I haven't explained it super well, but the people that I've talked to, most of the people that were willing to get on a video call with me were more manager type people or lead type people. And so that I do have access to those people, and this same outreach approach does work with them.
Okay.
It's less effective than the working, like the people on the front lines. And so that's why I kind of went for the people on the front lines to kind of get my bulk, like eyes on feedback. Also because, you know, it's a bit more of a lift for people to look at a video and that sort of thing. So the more numbers I could get, the better I figured for that. So I kind of have a mix of people already in the pipeline and in my feedback. So yeah, I think I could probably go for both of them still, and just making sure that, you know, I recognize the distinction as well when people are giving feedback, right? It's like, oh, this is a rep giving feedback versus a manager, and just kind of, hey, take that with a grain of salt, right?
Right, right. I mean, the other interesting part is there could be a double win here where, for example, like if I'm the individual rep, like what is going to motivate me or what is going to be interesting to me? Maybe it isn't necessarily like, how many tickets per hour can I do or something like that? But maybe there is some sort of other, like, you know, how many, how many times did I get it that my question did not like require an additional follow-up or something like comprehensiveness? You know what I mean? Like, it could be speed. I don't know if that some people are motivated by like, hey, I did more. I did, you know, 20% more tickets this month than I did last month, right? Gamifications of those things. And what I'm saying is like, when you're thinking about these management features, if you could find a double win crossover that is also an internal metric for the person to see, like, here's my personal dashboard, here's my personal like metrics, here's how many I did. Some people like to see, like, not everyone, but like, hey, I did 10 more than I did last week, you know, or hey, my response rates were better, but you got to shed the line of not feeling like, ooh, this just feels like they're just trying to get more out of me, but also like what's interesting to me. And if you can find some metrics that are both interesting to the individual to see, like, hey, here's my, you know, we'll just say like response rate, but that's probably a bad one, but there might be a mix of some of those metrics that are, so it's almost like you could get the individual that is interested, but also the manager that is interested in what those would look like in aggregate or even, but there's like probably a fine line to balance between the like subordinate and the manager and motivating them and not just feel like they're on their factory floor, you know, type of thing.
Being tracked like crazy.
Right. Exactly. There's like a balance of gamification that is exciting to them and individual, right? And that isn't necessarily, and you could tilt either way. I don't know if there's a magical one that, or a couple metrics that check both those boxes and feel good across those. But then if you're brainstorming on those types of metrics, you know, some could just be like, hey, these are just enough that make the individual support rep excited, right? Or like, hey, actually, how else can you show color to them and fulfillment for the things that they're doing, not just like order fulfillment, but you know what I mean? Like day-to-day fulfillment that kind of helps them feel good about what they did that day.
Yeah, that's smart. And I think, I'll have to ask that specific question to them. Cause I think, you don't want to overtrack and make people feel like this is going to be the thing that's just going to like clamp down on their joy in their life. Right. Cause their manager's just going to be on their back. But yeah, I think there might be some crossover there.
Could be like a magic wand really, type of question, right? It's almost like, if you could see the impact of the things you're doing, like what would you want to be able to see? Like what would you want to be able to feel out of like doing this role and you're responding to these? I forget that sometimes it can feel like just a number responding to these things, but like what could make you feel like more like invested in it or what other joy could you get? Oh, I wonder if like, you know, when they got delivery, I don't know what those types of things are, but it'd be interesting to know sort of like, actually, I've always wondered like what happens with this or like why some customers do this, why do this? It'd be interesting to know, right? Like they're in the weeds, but they probably have some, I've always thought about, you know, ABC or XYZ, right?
Yeah. Well, lots to think about. This has been really helpful.
Cool.
All right. All right. Well, thank you, Josh.
No problem, Nate. All right. Well, have a good week. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. See ya. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Boscher and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups. Or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.